You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the True Word of God. I am Apostle Vernon Whitaker with Pastor Betty Whitaker of First Church Fivefold Fellowship Ministries in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We want to welcome you to our show. Good morning. This is Apostle Vernon Whitaker from First Church Fivefold Fellowship in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Our address is 2855 Brighton Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34953. And our morning services start at 10 o'clock. We will have our Bible study. Then at 11 a.m., we will do our morning worship. If you're looking for a good church home, just want to come here, hear us, visit with us, fellowship with us, just give me a call at 561-718-2361. And that is my cell number. And we will be more than happy to try to come and pick you up and bring you to our church service, and we will have a good time and a holy time in the Lord, serving Jesus Christ and lifting up the name of Jesus. And if you are in trouble and need some help, we are there to help. We are there to lay hands and heal and deliver, whatever your case may be. There's no problem too big. There's no problem too hard that my God cannot solve. And I truly believe whenever God says, whatever God promised, guess what? He will keep his word. So, yes, from all the members, and including my wife, Apostle Betty Whitaker, we want to welcome you and be more than happy to fellowship with you and shake hands with you and break bread with you. Oh, yes, we'll break bread of life in Jesus Christ. Amen. We will always have a good time and a good choir, and we praise the Lord. Amen. So don't forget, Sunday morning, tomorrow morning, it's at 10 a.m., Sunday school, and that's the best time to come to church. Because that's the time that you can ask questions, and that's the way you'll be able to learn. Then after that, we'll go into our morning service, and which I'll be preaching tomorrow. Amen. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. A wonderful day this is. Amen. I thank God that he allowed us to get up this morning. And while we are up, and we got breath in this old clay body, and guess what we're going to do? We're going to lift up the name of Jesus. We're going to praise. We're going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a wonderful day. Every day that I can open my eyes, it's a good day for me. I don't care what the enemy throws at me. I don't care what I have to go through. I know that the Lord has something for me to do. And as long as he has something for me to do, I'll always let the will of God be done in my life. I just want to say hello to all my listeners who listen to us this morning, and may God bless you. And whatever you're going through, I'm saying right now, I'm going to speak it over the atmosphere. You heal in the name of Jesus. You're delivered right now in the name of Jesus. No matter what your situation is, it's already done. Disbelieve it and have no doubt. You know, doubt cancel out everything that we do. Doubt cancel out our faith. Doubt cancel out our belief. Doubt even cancel out the word of God. That's why I put no doubt in my mind. Whatever the word says, that's what the word is. Whatever God promised, guess what? His promises always come to truth. And we want to continue with winning over doubt and doubt and doubt. You know, doubt is a powerful tool that the enemy uses. And doubt, this is how the enemy works against our mind, by planting doubt. And we as Christians, we should be able to know and understand and see when the enemy is planting a doubt in our mind. There's a purpose for him doing what he's doing. And we know, if you don't know, let me explain to you. Satan really don't have a problem against you, but he have a problem against God. And whatever God loved, that's what he hate the most. And guess what? And God loved us so much that he even sent his son to be nailed to the cross and die and shed his blood so we may have eternal life. And that's what the Satan really hates. He really hates that because he wants us to worship him as we worship God. And that ain't going to happen in my life. I tell you that right now. It just ain't going to happen. Because I looked at his plan and I looked at God's plan. And his plan does not add up at all. And anybody look at the two different plans, I'd rather be in a place where I got peace, happiness, and joy than a place where I'm going to be tormented and burning for the rest of my life. And that just don't fit my category. I tell you, I just don't like pain. I hate to go to the doctor. Every time the doctor pull out a needle, man, I get screaming. I get tears in my eye. I just don't like pain. I don't know about y'all, but I just don't like pain. So I want to go to a place where for the rest of my life, I'm going to be crying and snatching the teeth and wanting a drop of water to cool my tongue. I can't deal with that. Man, my God, even when I outside working cutting grass, I hate to get thirsty. I keep running in the house, getting my glass of water. Amen. I just love what God says. So now we're going to continue to with doubt. And we got to understand, it's a tool that the enemy used in order for us to walk away from God. It's a tool that the enemy used so that we can turn our back on God. It's a tool that the enemy used so that we won't not believe every word that God said. And nothing but a tool, ain't nothing but a device, it ain't nothing but a trap where the enemy trying to, if he can get you just to doubt, if he can just get you to put one little doubt in your mind about the word of God, man, my God. And Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 through 20, it says, and this is a familiar scripture, everybody should know this. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle are not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. Watch thereunto with all preservation, supplication for all saints, and as for me, that utterance may not be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I'm going to speak boldly today. I'm not timid and I'm not shy. And I've always been a bold person. So why, when I was serving Satan boldly, when I come into the house of God and I'll be a child of God, I got to be timid? I'm going to take that same boldness I had when I was in the world, and I'm going to take that, Sister Connie, I'm going to bring it to the house of God, and I'm still going to be bold. And I'm going to speak what the Lord says, and I know that somebody will be changed today. And I just want to call to your attention that the warning that is presented, that we are engaged in a conflict with the devil. That's why they call it spiritual warfare. Whether you know it or not, every morning that you open your eyes and your feet hit the floor, you are in a spiritual battle. Now, if you're not in a spiritual battle, that means that Satan already got you. He already got you where he wants you at. But for those of us who are living the righteous life, who want to live for Christ, yes, we are in the battle. We are in the midst of the war. And it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. My fight is not against you, not against my sisters and brother, but against principalities. Those are angels or demons, and against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the wicked spirit in heavenly places. This continual conflict with the devil is one which you, as a Christian, should be aware. You should know that you are in a spiritual warfare. But if you're not trained properly and don't know how to put on the whole armor of God, and don't know how to hold the shield, put on the helmet, your breastplate, gird your loins, put on your shoes, and got your sword, how are you going to fight a spiritual warfare? So what the enemy does, he want to doubt each piece that you put on. He want to put a doubt that you don't know how to hold the sword, you don't know how to hold up the shield, but it is a doubt that he want to put in your mind. We need to consider the character, the curse, and the curse of doubt that are found in the word of God. Doubting the word of God. We need to consider the character of doubt as it is found in the word of God. I might suggest to you the character of doubt is threefold. The first thing and the basic thing is which the devil calls you to doubt is the word of God. That's the first thing he wants you to do. Don't believe the word of God. He want to bring doubt in the word of God. And I want you to notice with me that three examples of how the devil calls you to doubt the word. Sometimes he be blunt and he criticize the word of God. And sometimes there is a mere suggestion. And sometimes there is a sublet plan of the thought that he was caused even so that you can forget that the word of God is being attacked. Doubting God's promises. The devil does these things to us each and every day. You read the promise of God, the precious word of God, and then the devil does not come up with a big old red flag and waving a red flag saying the word of God is not true. He put thoughts in your mind, and that thought is, well, it is probably true. I would not say it is true, but if it is true, why doesn't it work for me? And the first thing that you need to know, you are doubting instead of believing. You are doubting instead of believing. Amen. So now, and how he suggested as the devil is relating to your cause is to doubt the word of God. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, there is even a sublet suggestion concerning the word of God. And it is recorded in Peter walking on the water. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ had been walking on the water. But the miracle was that Peter walked on the water. Peter walked on the water as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus Christ. But the moment that he turned his eyes on the waves and the wind, what he did, he began to sink. In verse 31, it says that he cried out, Peter cried out to the Lord, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? Now we need to look at the circumstances that caused this doubt in Peter. And Peter doubt. But why did Peter doubt? Did the devil say to Peter, Jesus can't hold you up? Or did he say to Peter, these waves won't hold you up? What did he say to Peter? And this is what he probably said to Peter. Look at the wind. Look at the wave. Ain't they big? Ain't the wave strong? And what he was doing, he was filling Peter's mind with the strength of the wind and strength of the wave. And therefore, there was no room in Peter's mind for Jesus Christ. No room whatsoever. Then Peter began to doubt. And in the beginning to doubt, he began to sink. Had Peter not had enough humility, enough to cry out to the Lord, Peter would have had a drown that day. When the doubt come, call on the Lord and say to him, Lord, I'm sinking. You are overwhelmed with these things and do not understand. Lord, save me. You find that when you call unto the Lord in that fashion, the Lord hears you. For Jesus had never turned a deaf ear to any needy soul. And I can testify to that. And I am a true witness to what Jesus Christ does. When you cry out, Lord, save me, he will immediately turn around and come to your rescue. But you got to get rid of the doubt. You got to know that you're sinking, you got to be like Peter and realize that I'm going to the sink. I need somebody to save me. And look what Peter did. He didn't call on Paul or call on nobody else in the boat that was with him, his other disciples, his other friend. He didn't call on them. He called on one person, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he knew if he would have called on the other disciples, first of all, they was not able to walk on the water. So how was they going to save Peter? They in the boat, he in the water. So now how they was going to get to Peter? How was they going to throw him a life raft? Throw him a rope? Suppose they would have thrown him a rope, and Peter would have grabbed a rope. You know, when a man is drowning, he's desperate. So now suppose Peter would have grabbed the rope and would have pulled on the rope and pulled one of them in the water. Now you got two in the water drowning. Come on, somebody. Now you got two people. Now they hollering for help. They throw them another rope. Now you pull somebody else in water. Now you got three people drowning. You got to learn and know who to call on in your time of need. Ain't but one name. Ain't but one person that's able to do all things. There is nothing impossible for my Lord to do. Walking on water was not impossible for him to do. Saving your soul is not impossible for him to do. All you got to do is have enough humility, have enough sense to know that you're sinking and you need some help. And this crowd, Lord, 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 save me. He didn't say, Andrew, save me. He didn't even call on his brother to come save me. Was not but one person able to do what Peter had to do. And I would say to you that when you speak about doubt, as one of the most common devices of the devil, is to bring your downfall. The devil will cause you to doubt the word of God. And very often, sometimes he bluntly with it, as he did to Eve. And sometimes he's have a suggestion fashion, as he did to the Savior. And sometimes he will be a very sublet manner, as he did to people, did to Peter. Doubting God's wisdom. I would suggest to you another characteristic of this device of doubt is in the book of Habakkuk, in chapter 1, in verse 2. And the prophet cried out, O Lord, how long shall I cry? Thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. He goes on and to say a prayer and to tell the Lord that he does not feel that he is right doing the way he is doing. He has been asking God to work. It seems though God has turned a deaf ear. God answered Habakkuk in the 5th chapter when God says, Behold, you are among heathen. Regard and wondrous marvelous, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it has been told to you. God says, although you're amongst all these heathen, but I'm going to work a work. And when I work this work, even you're not going to believe it. It has been told, and God has promised us what he will do. Have you ever doubted God in this fashion? Have you ever been through a rough place in your life? Have you ever been and seemed like nothing is going right? Seemed like the more that you pray, seemed like the more you stay on your knees, seemed like the rougher it get. And when you know very well that the things that was occurring was the will of God, but it did not seem very wise to you. You know, sometimes we think God don't know what he's doing. And sometimes we be trying to help God out. We don't pray the prayer. And we looking for God to work the way that we think God should work. But God said, I'm not coming that way. I'm coming this way. And then that's how we begin to, the enemy begin to come in and put doubt in your mind. But God, I need it right now. I need it right now, Lord. The Lord said, no, I'm not going to give it to you right now. So then sometimes we can't think because our thoughts is not the thoughts of the Lord. You would not say it, but deep down inside you thought, if I was God, anybody who said that, if I were God, I would not do it this way. I do not see the good in this. I do not see the purpose in this. It does not look as if this thing is going to do, but all this time, God is working. Oh, how much more peace you could have, how much real joy that you could have if you recognize that the devil was causing you to doubt the wisdom and the will of God. So we got to learn how to walk by faith. You must learn to walk by faith and not by sight. To believe that the judge of all this earth does right. Yes, the devil will encourage you to doubt the word of God. The devil will encourage you to doubt the wisdom and the will of God. And another doubt that the devil plant in our mind is the doubt of the work of God on our behalf. In Psalm 77 in verse 1 and 2, this is his testimony. Aspen, in the days of trouble, I sought the Lord, and the Lord listened to what I had to say. So now we are doubting God's work. Then he goes on and tells us that everything that transpired before he cried out to the Lord, and verse 2, he tells us how his soul refused to be comforted. In verse 3, he tells us how his soul was overwhelmed. In verse 4, he tells us how he used in his insomnia. He was so overcome with grief that he could not even talk about it. He tried to get out the situation in which he was in. He tried to look at the bright side. He considered the days of old, the years of the ancient time. In verse 6, he calls to remember the songs in the night. He communed with his own heart, his spirit, and made diligent search. However, nothing seemed to happen. Nothing seemed to help because the devil was lying right there on the bed beside him, and the devil was whispering in his ear. Have the devil ever spoke this in your ear? God is forsaking you. God does not care. God is not interested in you. God does not care what happened to you. God left you all alone. God is not going to do anything for you. God is going to work in your life on your behalf. That we know that the devil spoke this because in evidence, he looked down in verse 7, it says, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favored no more? And his mercy clean, gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shed up his tender mercy so long? And has he, and all these thoughts ran through his mind, Aspen, and the devil whispered him, God is not interested and God does not care. In verse 20, he said, behold, he smote the rock and the water gushed out and the steam overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Don't you know that doubt causes spiritual weakness? Faith is the cure for doubt. You will remember the device of the devil when he said the word of God is speaking as the catchphrase of doubt, the cure of doubt. And I'm going to suggest to you the threefold cure. You remember in the third chapter of Gospel of Matthew when the devil attempted to plant in the heart and mind of Jesus a doubt concerning his own originate of the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ answered and said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The antidote for doubt is faith. There is no room or doubt in the hearts of man who believe. But if you do not have your heart filled with faith, you cannot, and you sure will expect to have faith that will fill. So you should expect that faith is the antidote for doubt. Praise the Lord. Winning over doubt. You got to have faith. And how we get faith? By hearing the word of God. You got to hear the word of God. And how we walk? We walk by faith and not by sight. You got to be able to have faith And faith is things that's unseen, not things that we can see. When you take that doubt out your mind, guess what? You can overcome it. When you got faith, you can overcome doubt. Praise the Lord. We are coming to the end of our program, so I have a note here. Jonathan need prayer for a test he's taking to be a policeman. And Brother Jonathan, if you believe it, it's already done. But Lord, we want you to help him right now, God. God is mine and his heart, dear Father. And Lord, when you take the test, God, bring back everything to Jonathan. Remembers in the name of Jesus. And we know that it's already done. It's done, Jonathan. You already know passed the test. Just walk in and say, hey, just put $100 on your paper and just turn it in. See, I know it is already done in the name of Jesus. So now, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, call me at 561-718-2361. And our morning service starts at 11 a.m. If you need a ride, give us a call, and we'll be able to come pick you up. And we are First Church 5-4 Fellowship at 2855 Brighton Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Here we go. Let's get ready. We get ready of our motto. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in. And have a wonderful and a blessed day in the Lord. And this is Apostle Brandon Whitaker, along with my lovely wife, Pastor Betty Whitaker, and all the members of First Church 5-4 Fellowship. Be blessed in the Lord. Thank you for listening to the true word of God with Apostle Vernon and Betty Whitaker. I want to invite you to worship with us this Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We are located at 2855 Brighton Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34953. If you would like more information about our ministry or this program, you can call us at 561-718-2361. Join us next week at the same time for the true word of God.